Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
They did amazing. Hey, why don't you go ahead and give it up for our Makers Kids team too. They did an incredible job. We had 71 kids on stage this morning. That's a lot. That's a lot of details, and I'm so grateful for everyone that's given their time, and I'm excited to get into the Word today. I want us to do this. I want us to stand. Now, I know this is a Christmas Sunday, and if you were coming from one of those obligatory messages that were short so you could get to the donut holes, you found the wrong church. Because I've got a word from the Lord today that he has just birthed in my spirit. And I've got to release it to you because I believe people are going to leave transformed today in Jesus' name. But I want us to pray and ask the Lord to prepare our hearts to really receive what he is saying. Because how many of you guys know even today, after all these years, God is still speaking to us. He's speaking to us because he loves us and he has so much more for us as we continue to move forward in our lives with him. But let's do this. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to prepare us to receive today. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for our sons and daughters. Lord, we thank you for, God, the opportunity, God, that we have, Lord, to be a multi-generational body. God, recognizing, Lord, that, God, you are a generational God, Lord, and you love us, God. And we're grateful that we can provide opportunities, Lord, for our sons and daughters to use the gifts and talents that you've given them. And, Lord, we speak life, God, over them. We pray that, God, may the church always be the place where they grow in the fullness of everything you've placed inside of them. And Lord, now as we transition, God, to this part, God, where we get into your word today that is alive, God, and active, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive what you have for us. God, give us ears to hear, Lord. Let us have a heart to truly understand today, God. And after we receive, God, may we respond to the power and the truth of your word and your spirit. And Lord, we bless you and we thank you today because you are good. God, and there is no one else like you, Lord. And we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're ready, somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, be seated today, church. It's so good to be with you and just celebrate all the Lord is doing. I'm thankful, man, just that we have this time together. And I just, you know, I have such expectation today for what God is doing. And it's not just because I had a Christmas tree cake before I got here this morning. That's not why. How many of you guys know that those are amazing? Can I get a witness from somebody? Yes. I joke about that because if you follow us on social media, you saw that this week we took it a step further. We made Christmas tree cake pops. And so that means that we crushed those cake pops. We got them chilled in the fridge and then we dipped them in melted white chocolate. And then I took a bite of one and the goodness of the Lord was right there in our kitchen. And it was so good. But in all sincerity, I'm grateful we can get into the word today. And I really, the title of my sermon today, it's really a declaration. And I want you, after I tell you, I want you to shout it out. The title of my sermon today is We've Got Hope. Somebody shout, we've got hope. Come on, one more time, look to your neighbor and say, we've got hope. We've got hope. For a few minutes today, I want us to get into this because we've got hope together in Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. I love everything that we get to do with our family, our church family. And I remember when I was a kid, I would get so excited because I could not wait to wake up on December 25th and see if what I had hoped for had come to pass. Because back then, my hope was that Santa had come and brought me all the things I had wished for. And I remember I would wake up and I would run down the hall coming into the living room and saying, Santa came, Santa came. Now, that was little Derek. Now I'm extra, extra large Derek. And I see it a little differently. I process those things a little differently. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, when I was a child, he said, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, somebody shout, grew up. when I grew up, I put away childish things. You see, when I was a kid, that's the things that I got focused on during Christmas and during the holiday. But now that I'm an adult and I've put away childish things, I love Christmas because now I clearly understand it's not about Santa, it's about a Savior. It's not about Santa, it's about a Savior. And Christmas has nothing to do with the hope that Santa might come and bring me what I want. Instead, Christmas has everything to do with the fact that Jesus miraculously came and brought me everything I would ever need. If that's you, somebody say amen. Christmas is about Jesus coming and bringing us everything that we would need. I mean, can we just get real for a minute? The best we could ever hope for from a fictitious character named Santa was a toy or a pet or an engagement ring. But we have a real Savior. Guess what? He did not maybe come. He absolutely came and he brought truth and peace and he became a king. If you're thankful for Jesus, somebody give him praise in this house. Come on, somebody let the Lord know that you love him today. And Jesus didn't just become a king, he became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we get to have moments like today, church, where we remember and we rejoice that he was and is the prophetic fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9 that says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." If you're thankful that Jesus does all of those things, come on, one more time, somebody shout amen in this house. See, I love Christmas because of everything that we see of who Jesus is and what he does in our lives. And I'm thankful today, church, that not only does Christmas remind me of those things, but it reminds me of the reality that when Jesus came to the earth as a baby, when Jesus came to the earth as a baby, listen, he brought something that humanity had not fully had since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. When he came, he brought hope. When he came, when Jesus came, he brought hope. Somebody shout hope. He brought hope. The immaculate arrival of Jesus brought hope to the world. The immaculate arrival of Jesus brought hope to the world. And in fact, church, he didn't just bring hope to the world. The Bible says he is the hope of the world. Jesus, everybody shout Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. Let me show you. In Matthew chapter 12, we're gonna read verses 17 through 21. It's another prophetic fulfillment from Isaiah chapter 42, but I want you to see this in verse 17. Here's what the prophecy said. It said, "Look at my servant whom I have chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world." His name will be the hope of all the world. Church, can I tell you today on this Christmas Sunday, I'm thankful that hope has a name. I'm thankful that hope has a name. Listen, I'm thankful that hope has a name and it's not Burrow, Biden, or Trump. I'm thankful that hope has a name. Listen, and he's our champion and not a chump. Come on, somebody. I'm thankful that hope has a name and it's not Confucius, Muhammad, or Buddha. I'm thankful that hope has a name and he's the lion from the tribe of Judah. Can I get a witness somehow in this house today? Listen, I'm thankful that our hope has a name and his name is the name above every other name. His name, at his name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. I'm thankful that our hope has a name and his name is Jesus. Come on, if you're thankful that your hope is Jesus. Come on, A45, give him praise. Come on, he's good. Our hope has a name. And can I tell you today, if you have Jesus, you have hope. If you have Jesus, you have hope. And listen, if you're here today and you need hope, all you need is Jesus. If you need hope, all you need is Jesus. And so I told you it's my assignment today for the next few minutes to preach on this. We've got hope. Somebody make it personal. Say, I've got hope. You've got hope. We've got hope. And many will tell you that hope is a feeling that something good might happen. But hope is more than that. Hope is more than a feeling that something good might happen. You see, if you have hope in Jesus, Romans 5:5 tells us that you have hope that will not disappoint. If you have hope in Jesus, you have a hope that doesn't disappoint. Why? Because hope in Jesus, see this, hope in Jesus is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. Somebody say amen to that biblical definition of hope. A confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. So hear me today when I tell you, church, that the birth of Jesus ensured that we could all live hope-filled lives. The birth of Jesus ensured that we could all live hope-filled lives. Why? Because of Jesus. Listen, each of us and all of us can and should be living lives drenched in hope. We can be and should be living lives drenched in hope because our incredible God literally reveals this to another Old Testament prophet that I want you to see today. His name was Jeremiah. He spoke to Jeremiah this in Jeremiah 29 and 11. Some of you know this one where the Lord said, "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disasters." See this, to give you a future and a, come on, everybody shout it out. To give you a future and a hope. And so I want to tell you, I don't know where you find yourself today or where you find yourself as we're finishing the year 2022. But as we're stepping into 2023, I'm going to tell you the word of the Lord has not changed over your life. God knows the plans he has for you. God knows the plans he has for you. God knows the plans he has for you. And it's not to give you a disaster, but it's to give you a future and a hope. The plan of God for you is that your best is not done and behind you, but you have a future and a hope because your hope has a name and his name is Jesus. Your hope has a name and his name is Jesus. And so the word of God hasn't changed, church. And some of us, listen, maybe some of us today don't know or some of us have forgotten, but can I tell you, hope is powerful and it is pertinent for every single person. I got so excited I knocked my water off. Hang on for a minute. It's powerful and it's pertinent for every single person. And I don't know about you, but when I look around this world, I feel like there's a lot of folks that have lost hope. I feel like there are a lot of people that are dealing with the fact they feel more hopeless than they feel hope-filled. But it's powerful for everybody. Look to your neighbor and say, you've got hope. Come on, tell them. Tell them. You've got hope. You've got hope. And we have to remember that. I remember what the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:13. He said, these three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. And can I tell you, a lot of times we focus on faith and love. How many of you guys know those are good things for us to focus on? Those are good things for us to focus on. Faith and love are wonderful things, church. But can I tell you, just like we need faith and love, we need hope. Come on now. We need hope. We need hope just like we need faith and love. I know that Ephesians 2 says that by grace through faith we are saved. I know that 1 John 1 says God is love. And 1 Corinthians reminds us that if we don't have love, we don't have anything. But just like we have faith and we have love, we need to be people of hope. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Let me show you why. Hebrews 11:1, look at this. It says, now faith is the substance of things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can I tell you today, church, that it's almost impossible to have faith without hope, because hope of something better is what stirs up faith. Hope of something better stirs up faith. Pastor, give me an example. How about this one? It's very simple. If there is not hope that life is better with Jesus, why would you ever put your faith in Jesus? If there isn't hope that life could be better with Jesus, why would we put our faith in Jesus? Why? It's because faith and hope go together. And listen, church, it's because we have hope that we have a confident expectation, that we have a confident expectation that in Christ, we have a future that is better with him than it could ever be without him. That's the kind, anybody got that kind of hope today on Christmas Sunday? I know you might be new, but listen, we are this way every single time we gather. We love to be passionate about the Word of God. Can I get a Witness Makers Church? We love getting into the Word together to see what God is still saying. But we have a confident expectation. It's not a maybe. It's not I think so. We know that God has said it. God's going to do it. And we've got hope that our future is better with him than it could ever be without him. Our future is better with him than it could ever be without him. And so we can see something, church, that while love is foundational in our hearts, can I tell you today that hope is the anchor for our souls? While love is foundational in our hearts, hope is the anchor for our souls. And listen, church, this hope is the anchor because he is Jesus. The anchor. Somebody say the anchor is Jesus. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I've got Bible to show you. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Anybody thankful that God's not a liar? Come on. It is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge, meaning we run to him, can have great confidence as we hold to the what? To the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Now see what it says. And Jesus has already gone in there for us. Church, I don't know if you can see this, but because Jesus came and he was born, because he got on a cross and he bled and died, and then 3 days later when he got back up, he did something for you and me that we could not do for ourselves. He gave us hope. And now that hope is an anchor for our souls. It's an anchor. Now, I'm not the biggest boat guy. We've got some boat folks in here. And I love when you take me out because I'm terrified. I'm a much better Gilligan than I am the skipper. Come on. But I know enough about an anchor to know this. Nothing goes deeper than the anchor. Nothing goes deeper than the anchor. And the truth is, church, listen to me. When you have hope in Jesus and he is the anchor for your soul, that means that even at your lowest point, God is still there. And he is right there. And in fact, because you can't go lower than the anchor, even if you go to the lowest place of your life, you are still being shielded and protected by the Lord because he's good. So just like he's there at your high moments, just like he's there, just like he's there in every triumph and every success, can I tell you and remind you today, church, that he's also there. He's real and present in the low moments. And I would like to think that a lot of you are like me and you've had some low moments. Anybody had some low moments this year? I've had a few low moments this year. I've had a few times just personally. Listen, church, because Satan is a thief. How many of you guys know Satan is a thief? And guess what he does, church? He loves to steal. And guess what he loves to steal? Anything that God gives to us, he likes to try to take it. And because Satan is a thief, he's tried to come in and he tries to steal hope because he knows hope is critical in our lives. He knows we need hope as the people of God moving forward. And I'll just keep it real for a minute, because can I tell you, it seems like when we talk about hope and how we've had low moments, that there seems to be more people today that are trying to cope with their lives instead of living with hope in their lives. Seems like people are trying to cope more than they've got hope. And they're trying to find ways to maneuver around all of those doings. Listen, can I just be real? We have all had times of despair. We've all had times of rejection and heartache and tragedy in our lives. And some of you have had to walk through that this year. Some of you find yourself even today dealing with those feelings. We can be in the middle of those situations, walking through those moments. But can I tell you, even in those lowest moments, we can still rise with hope. We can still rise with hope, because hope isn't a wishy-washy, vague, wait-and-see attitude, but hope is a divine awareness that God is working all things for your good. Come on, somebody. Hope is a divine awareness that God can take every bit of it and somehow work it for your good. If you believe that, somebody shout amen in this room. So hope is more than a feeling. Hope is more than a fleeting moment. Hope is greater than those things. You and I have both had moments where we have thought, this is hopeless. But I have to encourage you today, church, nothing is hopeless with God. Nothing is hopeless with God. In fact, Luke 1:37 says, nothing shall be impossible with God. So can I tell you, nothing is hopeless because nothing is impossible. So see it this way. I need you to receive this one today. If it's possible in Jesus' name, there is hope in Jesus' name. They got it. You guys good over here? If it's possible in Jesus' name, there's hope in Jesus' name. If it's possible in Jesus' name, there is hope in Jesus' name. There is hope in Jesus' name. Listen, that means there is hope for your future. That means there is hope for healing in your body. That means there is hope for a divine turnaround in your marriage. There is hope for your family. There's hope in your finances. There's hope that your sons and your daughters will come back home to God. There is hope for the sin-filled to become the spirit-filled. There's hope for the bound and the addicted to become free. There's hope for the atheist to know the power of God. There is hope that the barrier of racism can be broken in our city. There is hope for Cincinnati. There is hope for the nation. And there is hope for the world, because Jesus is the hope of the world. Now, I know some of you didn't come ready for this kind of word on Christmas Sunday, but I'm telling you, God does not want anybody to leave today unless you're filled up and overflowing with hope, because hope is the anchor for your soul. Hope is the anchor for who you are. It's not people, it's not things. Nothing can be your hope, because the truth is, at some point, your hopes will be let down. But with God, you've always got hope. Even today, no matter what the year has looked like, you've got hope. Come on, somebody declare, say, I've got hope. We've got hope. We've got hope. You and me, we have hope together. We've got hope that is our anchor. And listen, the anchor is the answer, because our hope is Jesus. Our hope is Jesus. And I know some of you say, that's all true, Pastor Derek, but I find myself today hoping for some things, and it's been a while since I've started hoping for them. I've been hoping for them for a long time. Anybody there? I've been hoping for things for a while. Listen, me too. Me too. There are things that I'm still hoping for. But can I tell you, hope in Jesus empowers us and equips us to hang on to hope. Come on, somebody. Jesus loves you enough that he lets you hang on to hope. And can I tell you, if you'll hang on to hope, hope will hang on to you. If you'll hang on to hope, hope will hang on to you. But let me show you from God's word, because I just want you to see this morning. Jesus will empower you and equip you to hang on. Romans 8:25 says this, says, so because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, meaning it hasn't happened yet, but our hope is set on it, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. Pastor, I haven't seen it. Keep hoping. Pastor, I haven't seen it come to pass. Then keep patiently hoping and believing. Why? Here's what the psalmist did in Psalm 39, verse 7. And he said, and so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Come on, church, our only hope is in Jesus. It cannot be in government. It cannot be in the systems and the structures of the world. It can't be in your bank account. It can't be in your relationships. Your only true hope is in the Lord. Your only hope is truly in the Lord. Come on, find three people around you and say, I got hope in Jesus. Tell them, I got hope in Jesus. I got hope in Jesus. I got hope in Jesus. And before I close this morning, I've got to share and remind each of us why we can truly put our hope in the Lord. Why we can truly put our hope in the Lord. There's three things I've got to remind you of today, why we can put our hope in the Lord. Are you ready? Number one, he never loses. Come on, somebody. He never loses. He never loses. Psalm 24, verse 8 says he is invincible in battle. You're not invincible unless you're undefeated. He never loses. And so if you're walking with a God that never loses, and then we know that we find in Romans chapter 8 that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us, that means you have faith, and not just faith, but you have hope in Jesus because he is victorious. And when you have hope in him, you walk in victory in every part of your life. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So listen to me, if you came in thinking you were defeated, Satan has lied to you because God does not lie, but all Satan can do is tell lies. And if you came in feeling defeated and overwhelmed, thinking it could not change, today can I remind you that you have a hope named Jesus and he's never lost a fight, he'll never lose a battle, and he will fight for you. And if you'll stay believing and hoping, you will find yourself living in that same victory in Jesus' name. So number one, see this, he never loses. Number two, he never leaves. He never leaves. The last thing Jesus said before he ascended, Matthew 28, well, one of the last things he said, I am with you always. I am with you always. Pastor, how can I have my hope in Jesus? Sometimes folks leave us. Sometimes we have to say goodbye because they go on to heaven. But Jesus never leaves. Jesus never leaves. You can put your hope in him, confident expectation, because he never leaves. Well, Pastor, what about when I'm living a life that's far from him? He still hasn't left you. He's right there with you. Well, Pastor, what about when life is broken, it's in shambles, and I feel like it can't go any lower? That's when you're reminded that he is the anchor of your soul. And even when you're at the bottom, he is still right there, and his arms of love are around you. He loves you so much that he will never, ever leave you. If you believe that, somebody say amen. And then finally, after he never loses, he never leaves. My favorite one, are you ready? He never stops loving us. Your hope can be in him, church, because the Bible says in Jeremiah 31, he loves you with an everlasting love. An everlasting, not a conditional love. If you'll do this, I'll love you. Nope, that's not how God rolls. An everlasting, unconditional covenant love. He will never stop loving you. And I know there are people that are watching online. If you're online today, it's so good that you're celebrating with us. If you're in the room today, hear me when I tell you, I don't know where your heart feels right now, but I can promise you this, you've got hope in Jesus. You've got hope in Jesus. You've got hope in Jesus. He never leaves, he never loses, and he never stops loving you.